Today's reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 14. The book of Acts, chapter 14. As we continue to follow those early apostles and spreading the gospel. Okay. The book of Acts, chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. The same thing occurred in Iconium, where Paul and Barnabas went into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks became believers. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who testified to the word by his grace by granting signs and wonders to be done through them. But the residents of the city were divided, some side with the Jews, and some with the apostles. And when his attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews, with their rulers, to mistreat them and stone them, the apostles learned of it, and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycia, and to the surrounding country. And there they continued proclaiming the good news. In Lystra there was a man sitting who could not use his feet, and had never walked, for he had been crippled from birth. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. And Paul, looking at him intently, and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And the man sprang up and began to walk. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priests of Zeus, whose temples were just outside the city, brought oxen and garland to the gates. He and the crowds wanted to offer sacrifice. When the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their clothes and rushed out to the crowd, shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We are mortals just like you. And we bring you good news, that you should turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea, and all that is in them. In the past generations, he allowed all nations to follow their own ways. Yet he has not left himself without witness in doing good, giving you rains from heaven, and fruitful seasons, and filling you with food and your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. But the Jews came there from Antioch and Iconium and won over the crowds. Then they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples surrounded him, he got up and went into the city. The next day he went with Barnabas to Derbe. My friends, it's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if you're like me, when you think of the book of Acts, you usually think of Paul. But it is only now, in chapter 14, we get to our first story as Paul, the great missionary. So far, it's been most about Peter and Philip, two peas in the pod, and Stephen, the first martyr. But now we're getting to the point to where Paul, the missionary, is taking center stage as he is spreading that gospel across Europe. So, it talks about how Paul and his buddy Barnabas went to a place called Iconium. They went to the synagogue and they spoke. And there, at first, they met great success. It says both the Jews and the Gentiles came to believe in Jesus Christ. However, it says some unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. In other words, a little gossip campaign got started. Mus-mirroring. You're not going to believe these two missionaries, are you? They're giving you a false religion. And the result was that the Gentiles got turned against these apostles. You got to be careful about who you listen to. The folks you're so eager to come and gossip to you, you got to watch out for. You got to ask yourself, what's their motivation? But what did Paul and Barnabas do? They said, they remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord. Remember how that early church prayed for boldness in the face of persecution? For the Lord, who testified to the word of his grace by granting signs and wonders to be done through them. Sometimes folks wonder, why is it there's more miracles in the Acts than there seems to be today? Well, part of it is that those miracles were God's way of confirming those people that this is the truth. They're telling you about the true God who lives. And these miracles were not an end to themselves, but they were pointing to the truth of their message. Remember how in John's gospel, when Jesus told the crowds, if you don't believe me, believe my miracles. You know, my miracles are proof that I really am the Son of God who has come down to show you the ways of God. And then it says the city was divided. Some liked them, some didn't. You know, I mean, we live in divided times today, don't we? Folks get split up 50-50. And then here's the key trick. The rulers got involved and began to mistreat them. And they said, we're going to stone them. Okay? And so what they do, they say, well, it's time to move on to the next city and spread the gospel there. And so then they go down to the city called Lystra. And here you have this poor man who was born lame. He has never been able to walk. You know? Imagine your entire life not being able to walk. When you're a little baby. You know, I remember my little nephew. When we were doing his first birthday, I remember he had like this little army crawl he did. And then not long after that, he got to a point where with a clothes basket, he would stand up in that clothes basket and push around like a grocery cart. He wasn't quite walking yet, but he was getting there. And then when I went to visit him a few weeks ago at his house, and he chased me all around that kitchen, and just laughing and giggling. This poor man didn't get that experience, those first steps. He didn't get to go with the kids down to the playground and play tag and chase and all that fun stuff. He had to depend on folks to pick him up all throughout his life. Now, it wasn't like he had a regular life and then lost the ability to walk. He never had to begin with. But listen to this. It said, he listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul looked at him intently. Whereas Paul was speaking, and he noticed this man sitting there in the front pew, if you will, and kind of stared at him, and seeing that he had the faith to be healed. Whereas Paul said, this brother up here got real faith. He believes this message. Think how many times in the Gospels Jesus says, oh woman, oh man, grace your faith, be healed. You say, without that faith, you can't get any healing. When Jesus went down to Nazareth, his own hometown, the Gospels tell us that he could work few of his mighty miracles, for his own hometown did not believe in him. Without faith, miracles cannot happen. And so Paul looks at his brother, sees him there in his wheelchair, on his mat, and he says, stand up upright on your feet. And the man jumps up, and I'm sure he was running and jumping and shouting. It's not like us, you know, when we've been in bed for a couple weeks and we get off and we got weak and we got to kind of get our strength back. Mm-mm-mm. This miracle was complete. He was able to jump up and start moving around. Well, this kind of backfires on the Apostle Paul, though. Sometimes, you know, you do things and it doesn't turn out the way you plan it. You know, if you're a teacher, this happens to you like every day, doesn't it? You know, I had this nice lesson plan, and then all at once it took off a right field. Okay? The people start shouting in their language, the gods have come down to us in human form. Now, I don't think Paul knew what was going on at first, because it says they shout in the Lycian language. Paul was speaking to them in Greek, and then all he knew was they just jumped up, started jibber-jabbing, and thought, what's this about? And you may have seen the old movie with Anthony Hopkins called where he was Apostle Paul, and that movie was neat because he and Barnabas were kind of like, this is fun. And then they're kind of like, what are they saying to each other? You know, it was like they're lost in translation. Now, what happened was, in that particular culture, they had a story about how Zeus and Hermes came down for a visit in disguise. This nice old couple, Vine Men, fed them supper. And as a reward, they turned that nice little couple's shack into a beautiful palace. Okay? That's part of their religious beliefs. So they saw this miracle occur. They thought, oh my goodness, this is Zeus and Hermes. Now, Zeus, you know, the Roman name for him is Jupiter. He was the king of the gods. He was in charge of them, and he was a mess. Okay? He was the boss. Now, Hermes, also known as Apollos, or Mercury, he was the messenger of the gods. He was like their spokesperson. Kind of like you had the president, you know, and the president had their, you know, a person who gives speeches for them, you know, the press conference. And so that kind of tells us what Barnabas and Paul looked like if you saw them. It sounds like that Barnabas was kind of a big old guy, had the big beard. And they thought, okay, that's Zeus. And Paul was being small anyway. Paul was a shorter guy, was younger, was very eloquent. He's a spokesman. So they think, oh my goodness, the gods have come again. Praise the gods. And so the priests come out with oxen and garland, and they're getting ready to do some sacrifices. And all at once, the light bulb clicks for Paul and Barnabas. Oh my goodness. They think we're gods. Now, think how frustrating that is. Has to be for Paul, right? I mean, here he is trying to tell them about the one true God. He sent his son Jesus. And then somehow it backfired to they think he is the chief Greek god come down in human flesh, okay? And so what do? They said they rush out in the crowd tearing their clothes. In Greek Hebrew culture, that means no sign of blasphemy. Remember how the high priest on Thursday night when he asked Jesus, no, Jesus, tell us, are you the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God? And Jesus said, I am, invoking what God told Moses. And as a priest, he ripped his cloak, Well, the same thing happened here. They're kind of ripping their clothes saying, this is not good. This is blasphemy. And they said, friends, why are you doing this? We are mortals just like you. No, guys, we're just flesh and blood. No, we're just humans. And we bring you good news. Remember, the gospel is good news. That you should turn from these worthless things to the living God. Now, Paul hit this later on when he gets to Athens. You got these idols in your village made out of marble and stone and maybe wood. They're worthless. It's like a Mr. Potato Head. You made it. You need to turn away from them to the living God. Okay? Well, who is this living God? The living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. You see, somehow in human history, we got a little confused about this. We knew there was a creator who created this world. And yet, somehow, we took the creation and made it into a god. Now, Paul writes about that in Romans chapter 1. Now, when you go to a country like India, you see this, where they have these sacred animals, and they think they're gods. Well, no, they're not sacred. They were made by a creator. He's, created this world. Or you go to another country and they believe that the gods live in the trees, the mountains, and this. Well, we got Barber Falls and the mountains here, and they're very beautiful. But it's like the difference between a painting and the painter. They're not the same. The painter created the painting. And by seeing that painting, we know more about the painter. Okay? When we look out and see creation, we know more about our creator. I mean, that's why as Christians, we should be all about science and learn new things, because the more we learn about this world, the more we learn about God. And it says, in past generations, he allowed all nations to follow their own ways. Now, what Paul's referring to is that if you went in the past, you went to this country, they had their gods, and went to this country, they had their gods, went to this country, they had their idols and false gods. And it was in that culture that God called a man named Abraham and said, I want to tell you about the one true God. And I will bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, and through you all nations will be blessed. In a world of darkness, Abraham was going to start a journey of faith for the world to know the one God, the true God, the living God, the one who created this world to begin with. And then he says, and yet he has not left himself without witness in doing good. In other words, even though you don't have the book of Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you don't have the Ten Commandments, you don't have the Psalms that we just read from, God left you some clues. What are those clues? Giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling you with food and your hearts with joy. Now, again, Paul hit this in Romans chapter 1. Now, all creation is pointing to the Creator. All these blessings we enjoy. When the rain comes down from heaven, waters our crops, we get the harvest, that's our food. When we see that beautiful sunrise or that sunset, every once in a while we get that eclipse, or at night we see the moon and the stars out. When we see the flowers, here in a little few weeks our trees will be changing colors. When we see Bald River Falls, when we hear the birds in the morning, all these clues are telling you that there is a God out there. You might not know all the details, but that should have been your first clue. There are not gods, plural, but there is a God, a creator. And we have come to tell you about him. In verse 18, even with these words, they scarcely restrained the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. In other words, they're just barely hanging on. And then verse 19, but the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won over the crowds. Then they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing he was dead. So here's Paul. He's preaching this great sermon. He heals a person. And then it all falls apart. He gives his great little sermonette about God the Creator. He thinks he's got everything under control. And then once again, popular opinion turns against him, and they take him and they stone him, drag him outside the city, and leave him, thinking he's dead. But when the disciples surrounded him, he got up, went to the city, and the next day he went on to Barnabas to Derbe. I wonder what Paul thought when he was getting stoned. I wonder who he was thinking about. Everyone thought about maybe he was thinking about Stephen and how as a young man he was there with all the clothes watching folks stone Stephen. He was there nodding his head in approval. And now he was experiencing a little bit what Stephen went through. Now, and I didn't read this verse, but listen to verse 22. There they strengthened the souls of the disciples and encouraged them to continue in the faith, saying, it is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God. I mean, that's a verse you probably won't hear on TV anytime soon. You turn on the TV and it's the health and wealth gospel. All throughout history, God's people have been prosecuted, persecuted, and executed. And Paul was just getting a first taste of what was in store during his ministry, where he would go and he'd have moments of triumph, and then turn around, hit a moment of being beaten up or arrested. And he'd go up and down. It's like a roller coaster. Now, some Christians want to be on the merry-go-round, go around in circles. When you live the Christian life, my friend, though, you better buckle your seatbelt. It's going to be ups and downs and ups and downs. Now, what about us? Do we pay attention to our Creator, or do we give more attention to the creation? Have we been so blinded by our blessings that we've got about the one who gave the blessing to begin with? It's so easy to do. So easy to do. You get a good job, get some money in the bank, get a pretty wife, you're looking at a husband, nice car to drive, and then you turn those into little idols and forget about the one who gave you those blessings. Paul said, yet he's not left himself without a witness in doing good, giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, and filling you with food and hearts with joy. Yeah. Here in a second, we're going to take communion. We're going to take some food. It's going to fill our hearts with joy. That is proof of the one God, the true God, who made himself known to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection. Yeah. Let's be careful in our lives that we're keeping our eyes on God, the blesser, and not the blessings. That we keep our eyes on God, our Creator, and not being distracted by the creation. The creation and the blessing should point us back to God. Thanks be to God. Amen.